Hey, everybody. Welcome to Just for Variety. Today is March 29th, 2022. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. On today's episode, I'm talking to Outlander star Sam Heughan. The actor is here to chat about the new and sixth season of his Starz show. Heughan reveals why he didn't think the show would last past a couple of seasons, working with Celine Dion in the upcoming romantic drama Text for You, and his dreams of wanting to play a superhero on the big screen. But before we get to Heughan, we're going to take a short, quick break.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Just for Variety. I'm talking to Sam Heughan. The Scottish actor is best known for playing Jamie on Starz's Outlander. The show recently returned with its sixth season. Heughan recently stopped by the Variety studio to talk to me about the new season, Celine Dion, Bagels, and Kilts. Here's Sam Heughan. Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, very well. At the end of a pretty intense press tour for Outlander, but it's been a good journey.
But how nice is it to be doing a press tour?
Right.
Doing a press tour for a new season of Outlander after we've had this Droughtlander.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? Last night we had a sort of event here, a live event, and it was great to have people in the audience, right?
Yeah.
Because we haven't really sort of had that. So, it's been 2 years since the show has been aired, but we're now finally back.
So do you remember, take me back to day one, season one, on set. Was there anything in your head that said, I'm going to one day be doing press for season six?
That's so funny. Now, so that's almost 8 years ago. Going back, and actually I remember the first day in the car with my driver, and we're talking, and he was like, how long do you think it will last, you know? And I was like, it won't last more than like a year, maybe two seasons, but here we are, season six, and it's been incredible. It goes so fast, though.
Why did you think only 1 or 2 years?
I don't know. It was all just very new to me. You know, I'm pretty green. You know, I'd worked as a jobbing actor, you know, done bit parts and the odd movie here and there, but nothing really of this scale. And I had really no idea of what I was getting into. You know, it's a phenomenon. You know, the books are such very popular. Mm-hmm. And then I think, I kind of went in sort of rather naively. But here we are now.
So in the six seasons, what celebrity has slipped into your DM to say they love Outlander?
Oh, wow. Rita Wilson, I think, was pretty good. Yeah, I met her on a show. And, you know, it's funny. I think the show has been, you know, very much also a word of mouth thing. You know, mm-hmm. people do talk about it. But, it's great how popular it is, especially in America, actually. I think it seems to be, you know, possibly more popular than other places.
So, obviously, the fandom is huge.
Mm.
What is the one strange thing you got in the mail from a fan where you're like, wow, they went there?
Yeah, I mean, they are just very invested. They, you know, they are trying to choose my words. they're very invested, and they're really supportive. Everything we do, you know, from the charity work we put our voices to, they just get behind it. But we've had a variety of really interesting gifts from, I think I received a crate of overripe avocados, homemade peanut butter, to a duvet with my face on it, to crocheted dolls of myself. So it's pretty good.
So someone gave you a duvet with your face on it?
Yes. Yeah, I'm not sure if they imagine me sleeping with it, but it's good to remind yourself of who you are when you go to sleep.
So who's sleeping with that duvet right now?
I think it's still in my trailer, actually, at work.
Yeah. So you are using it.
Yeah.
You'd think I feel like the fan would want the duvet with your face on it, not
right.
you.
They should have given me a duvet with their faces on it. Right. But yeah, no, they're just so generous. And as I said, you know, we've received a lot of gifts, you know, over the years. But it's more so the charity work that we do. You know, I have My Peak Challenge, which is my charity fundraiser, and they've just got behind it. Yeah, it's basically a fitness platform. We have daily workouts, we have mindfulness, yoga. Nutrition, but whilst you're sort of helping yourself, you're also helping others. We donate 50% of all proceeds to charity, and we've raised over $6 million now. Every year, we choose a different charity partner to work with. But ultimately, it's about our peakers, as we call them, our subscribers. And they really have gone, you know, they've really banded together, made their own community. And we've had them, you know, create friendships, find, you know, new skills, you know, fitness. It's just been an incredible journey with them.
So let's talk about fitness. Obviously, you have to stay in shape. But when do you get to not have to worry about that and say, you know what, I'm just going to eat what I want. I'm going to sleep in.
Right. Yeah. I think when we're on a press tour, I think, you know, it pretty much goes out the window. But
yeah.
You know, when you're working, obviously it's hard, and you have to, you know, have quite a strict regime. But you know, it's all about balance, isn't it?
So, what is your guilt food when you're not?
Oh, when I'm not.
When you're not worrying about working out.
God, I love coming to America. So the food here's so good, and I recently was in New York, and I mean, there's some of the best restaurants. But I did a stint with Drew Barrymore recently, and we were eating bagels, and that was pretty much a dream come true.
And they're New York bagels.
Oh my God!
I'm
so
from
good.
New York.
Oh
so
well,
that's the only place you could get real bagels.
I wanted to try them all, and we really did. We really did. But the flat one, interesting. I've never had that one before. But that's
the bagel flats. Mm. Yeah. See, when you grow up in New York, when I'm of an age, we didn't have bagel flats. We didn't have all these fancy bagels. Like when people are like, I like a blueberry bagel. I'm like, that's not a bagel. That's a muffin.
You want to keep it classic though, don't you?
Yeah. I'll go crazy and get an everything bagel.
Mm.
Some cream cheese.
Oh, stop. You're making me hungry now.
And some lox. Yeah. Do you like lox?
I love lox, you know, capers, maybe a little bit of lemon.
Okay.
But yeah, nothing too fancy.
Are you an ice cream guy?
I have to admit, I'm not really. I think I'm more of a savory guy.
Okay.
Yeah, so I also had some great Italian while I was there. That was good.
New York pizza? Did you have New York pizza?
Oh, God, yes. Yeah, pizza, loads of truffle, everything, whatever.
Truffle, gross.
Come on.
I'm
ready to try it all.
Truffle, no. Truffle, I don't care. I hate mushrooms.
Oh, really?
I hate mushrooms.
Really?
The smell of mushrooms cooking make me hurl.
Oh, wow. That's a shame.
I know.
Yeah.
People, and my husband and I went pretty much pescatarian during the pandemic.
Right.
And it's really hard to find stuff that doesn't involve mushrooms.
Mushrooms. That's interesting. I grew up a pescatarian, a sort of vegetarian pescatarian. Mm-hmm. Didn't start eating meat until I came to America when I was 24.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I might go back to it one day.
So I'm what made you start eating meat when you came to America?
It was all these delicious burgers and food. But no, it was actually, at the time I was auditioning for Superman, and I had a trainer, and they're like, you need to get bigger, you know, you need to be able to fill out the cape. And I just got a trainer, and he was like, eat more protein. And and actually, interestingly, I remember the first time I had, I think it was chicken or something, and I just suddenly was like, oh my God, I have all this energy, and I don't feel hungry all the time. I just wasn't probably eating very healthily at the time.
And this was Superman the movie or Superman TV show?
The movie, yeah. It was the Brandon Routh one, Bryan Singer. Wow. It was, yeah, way, way back then.
How long did you get into the process?
I had a number of auditions and met the producers, and we never like screen tested or anything. But I think it was the beginning of this sort of me kind of coming to America, I guess, and the audition processes. And I realized, you know, I needed to change my body shape for the sort of roles that I was going up for.
Is a superhero in your future? Who do you want to play? Who's the superhero?
I'd love to. I mean, I have to admit, you know, I'm excited about the new Batman movie. I think that looks fantastic. I think the other superhero movies kind of lost their way a bit. They've become, I think, a little too obese in a way, you know. But But anything character-based, I mean, Batman's a great one because he's not a superhero. He's just an interesting character.
Right.
But something, yeah, something with a good backstory.
Do you see yourself in that Batman cowl? You have the jawline. Yeah. It'll work.
Yeah. I mean, get back on that treadmill. But, I mean, I've talked about it, but I actually played Batman years ago and Bruce Wayne in a stage version, a sort of Cirque du Soleil style. And then we toured around the world. And that was cool. We played the Staples Center. We played Vegas. It was great.
I remember years ago, I did a story for Entertainment Weekly, mm-hmm. and they were doing a Batman. They were putting together a Batman musical for Broadway, and nothing ever came from it.
That's right, because we were doing our show, and the Spider-Man musical came out, and I was desperate to see that. But yeah, singing Batman, I'm not sure it'd work.
Are you a singer?
No. Not really. However,
go ahead.
I'm not going to break into song right now. But I did a movie this last year, and it should be coming out sometime this year with Celine Dion.
Yeah, that's right? On my list. Right? That is on my list.
So come on, you gotta belt out a little bit now and then in the shower.
So the movie is Text to You.
Text for You. Yeah.
Text for You. Yeah. Celine Dion. Mm-hmm. Where does she play in the story with your character? Tell me everything and anything.
Yeah. She is playing herself. Mm-hmm. I think it's her acting debut. I don't think she's been in a movie before, but she's wonderful. She plays herself. She's supplying a lot of the music for the movie. And she's just such an incredible human being. And she's very funny.
She is. She's very, very funny.
Very funny. Yes. Yeah. And very hardworking. And it's essentially about a woman who loses her partner, and while she's mourning for him, she continues to text him. And unbeknownst to her, the phone number of her ex-boyfriend gets given to someone else, my character, who then falls for this anonymous texter.
And that's Priyanka.
Priyanka Chopra, who I have to say is honestly one of the nicest, most incredible people I've ever met. She's a brilliant actress and a very good friend.
So tell me about Celine Dion. Where does she play in the story? Is she one of your love interests?
We'll have to watch it and find out. But yeah, she's herself. And as I said, she supplies a lot of the music as well. So.
Do you have a favorite Celine Dion song?
it's really hard. I believe she's written a new one for the movie, and that's don't hold me to that. I don't want to cause trouble here, but I think she has. So that's what I'm excited about.
Did you sing with her?
I can't possibly say.
You can't possibly say, but if you did get to sing with Celine Dion, that's pretty effing major.
Yeah, or.
Embarrassing.
Or embarrassing, because I don't consider myself a singer at all.
So let's take it back to Outlander. You had a film during the pandemic, obviously, season six.
Yeah.
What was it like doing, you know, you have these huge group scenes, mm-hmm. which have their own, you know, concerns during a pandemic.
Yeah.
Then you have really, really intimate scenes that have their concerns. What was it like sort of going from, you know, a show that has so many people involved, there's no pandemic, to all of a sudden everyone is doing, you know, COVID protocols.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's the reason we were delayed so long. Other shows sort of found a way around it, but they had to make concessions. And we didn't want to. You know, we wanted the scale of our show to remain the same. And so, therefore, it did take us longer to sort of work out a system of keeping everyone safe. We got a testing center at the studio. Everyone was tested. Had all these different bubbles, different protocols, and ultimately, yeah. I mean, I think we managed it. You know, I don't think we had any cases.
That's incredible.
On the shooting crew, right. I think on the fringes there were, but I think yeah. They worked really hard at it, and I know a lot of the budget went on, you know, keeping everyone safe, but. I'm just really pleased that we managed to eventually find a way back. You know, it is a big show. And of course, you know, people do get nervous, especially at that time when we were really at the height of the pandemic and the lockdown in the UK. But to be honest, once you get back into the swing of things and you get back on set, you kind of fall back into those friendships and relationships.
So what are Jamie's big the two big concerns? You have Tom, mm-hmm. and then you have the American Revolution.
Yeah.
Which is the bigger worry? Which makes Jamie more worried?
Well, not only that, you know, Jamie's got, you know, the Tom Christie of it all, which is, you know, this sort of power struggle between the two, and he's trying to control him. But also the War of Independence fast approaching. Jamie knows he's on the wrong side. He's with the crown, the British. Mm. He knows that's going to be the losing side. Not only that, he's been given the job of becoming an Indian agent, the go-between, the local Cherokee tribe. And he doesn't know which side they're going to be on. So they could become enemies or they could become allies. And he's got Claire that he's concerned about because she's been through this horrific assault at the end of last season. So, yeah, he's got – what else do you want to pile on top of him?
Right.
I mean, he really has a lot of concerns.
And let's talk about Claire and how does Jamie help her heal?
Yeah, so – he's been through something similar, and I think he's aware of what she's been through. Like, he wants to give her space. He knows, he checks in with her. He knows that when she's ready, you know, she'll talk about it. But unbeknownst to him, she actually keeps a secret from him. And I think it's probably the first time that they've had a secret kept from each other. Mm. She starts to self-medicate, and it does become, you know, quite a big gap between them, which you'll see them resolve later in the season.
We're going to take a short break right now, but when we return, Ewan reveals the toughest scene he had to shoot for Outlander. He also takes a look back at his early days in the business and recalls his auditions for Superman and Jumanji.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to Just for Variety. Here's more of Sam Ewan. Obviously, the show deals a lot with trauma.
Mm.
How much discussion goes on off camera about really sort of obviously portraying it in a sensitive way, but also you have to be entertaining.
Yeah.
And then you don't want to, you know, God forbid someone has gone through trauma in their life.
Yeah.
You don't want to re-traumatize them during the shooting. So how much sort of is it a sensitivity training that goes on? How does that work?
A lot of discussions, you know, and I think because there are some pretty big issues in Outlander. You know, there's always something happening. And, yeah, we don't ever want to belittle that. So we do want to approach it very sensitively. And, you know, Jamie's trauma, similar in a sense, but everyone's different. Everyone reacts to something in a different way. And I know, especially this season, we sat down and talked a lot with the writers and Katrina especially for talking about how her PTSD is triggered and how we portray that. You know, 8 years ago when we were shooting, you know, Jamie's trauma or Jamie's assault, it was a very different world. So we showed more of it. But now, this time, we really wanted to do something more abstract, but still get into the mindset of the victim.
Was the discussion like, you know what, we can't show as much anymore?
Absolutely, yeah. I think, you know, audiences have desires or their tolerance for these kind of things have changed over the years. But yeah, we sat down a lot and really discussed it with, you know, all the writers and the execs as well. I think, you know, being producers now on the show, we have a responsibility as well.
What, in the 6 years, what was the toughest scene for you to shoot?
I mean, it has to be, you know, going back to season one, the Jamie's rape and assault. It was pretty graphic. And at the time, you know, you just get in there and you do it, right? And it's, as an actor, it's challenging. And actually, we love a challenge. I do, you know, I want to go to some dark places. But it was... it was pretty tough to shoot. It was a pretty intensive week, I think it was.
What did you do to sort of, are you someone who could go home and say, okay, that was work, I could cut it off? Or is it something you bring home with you and you need to figure out, how do I leave that darkness behind?
I think I'm pretty good at switching off. Yeah. But actually, at that time, it was just a very sort of strange place. And I was, because I had so many prosthetics and so much makeup, you know, I was having super early calls, like 4 a.m. call, wow. and wouldn't be finished till, you know, 7 or 8 in the evening. So I was staying in a very small hotel next to the studio. So it almost became like this weird little prison. And I literally was just in it the whole time. And I do remember it just being very, very intense. But it was also, you know, towards the end of the season. So after that, I think I did take some time out and go get up into the Highlands of Scotland and sort of escape.
Let's talk about Men in Kilts. When are you releasing your own line of kilts?
I have my own tartan I created. Yeah, the Sassenach tartan. It's beautiful. It's a sort of gray black tartan. But you know, Men in Kilts has been brilliant. It was a passion project of mine. I created it over a number of weekends. Shot the promo footage and then took that to Stars and Sony. And fortunately, they picked it up. And we've just finished season 2 in New Zealand. I just got back, 2 weeks ago? Something like that. And it's bigger, bolder, and, I don't know, breezier than season 1.
Breezier. Right. Really? Right. Kilts. Right. Breezier. Right. Yeah, I see what you did there.
That might be the tagline.
Come That's on, a good you, one. You do have to release your own line of kilts. I mean, it makes sense, no?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I've actually, you know, I have my own tartan, and we have done a number of accessories. We've done some bags and hip flask and things, but... I have a couple of kilts in my tartan, but I mean, people are welcome to make them, to buy them. We'll have to get you one in one.
I would wear a kilt.
You should. It's very liberating.
Is it?
And it feels great. Yeah.
So, forgive my ignorance on kilt wearing. Mm-hmm. Do you go commando in a kilt?
Of course. Or? Yes. I mean the true Scotsman. Yes. Yeah. You just got to be very careful when sitting down.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. Isn't that dangerous?
It is dangerous, but I mean, that's half the thrill of it. But no, I mean, it is the traditional way, but it's there's a lot of material there as well. So don't worry, your modesty will be well protected.
And I know, you know, before season 2, you had talked a lot about wanting season 2 to be in New Zealand. So what's the next, what's the next adventure? Where do you want to go?
Would love to do another season. Obviously, we'll have to speak to Stars and Sony about it, but I mean, there are so many, because the reason we went to New Zealand is because there is a strong Scottish connection, or the immigrants that went to New Zealand and settled there, but also my co-star Graham is also from New Zealand, but it just seemed like a natural progression. But I've got some ideas, and I have pitched them to the guys at Stars, so we'll see what happens.
You don't want to tell me, do you? You don't.
Well, we could go anywhere, really.
You could. Know, so where? What are you? Give me three top choices.
I would love to go to Asia. Japan would be really interesting. They have a really their whiskey scene is really interesting. But there's a lot of similarities between, I don't know, these sort of warrior nations and the Highlanders of Scotland. Mm. I would love to go to India. And even America would be really interesting, because, of course, you know, built upon, well, modern America is built upon a lot of immigrants.
Men in kilts in New York City eating bagels.
Oh, come on. I mean, that's a must, isn't it?
No. You know what you got to do? You got to find like a baker who can make a bagel in your tartan.
Yes. Yes. I wonder how many bagels you can fit in your sporran as well.
Your what?
Your sporran. It's the, so the thing you... What? It's this, you might have seen, it's essentially it's a bit of a man bag, really.
Right.
But you wear it around your waist, and it used to be worn at the side. But
it's like a fanny pack.
Yes.
But much more masculine.
But way more masculine. You can have different sizes, and you can have them covered in different materials. But they're very handy, actually, because you don't have any pockets in a kilt. So.
And it's called a sporran.
It's called a sporran.
How many bagels could fit into your sporran?
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah. Very handy to put your mobile phone in as well.
Now let's talk about Everest.
Mm.
What kind of training do you have to do? When does that start shooting?
Well,
where are we at?
Unfortunately, it has been delayed, and I'm not sure when we're going to be shooting it. Hopefully, it'll happen. We were supposed to be shooting about now, but just with scheduling and COVID as well, it's a, right. it's a big movie. But love to work with Doug Liman. He's an incredible. Yeah, he's such a great filmmaker, and of course, you know, I've been chatting a lot with Ewan as well, and he's a good guy. So I did start a bunch of like climbing training because my character George Finch is you know, was an alpine climber and freestyler. He's arguably the best climber of his generation. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was fun. I would have to slim down a lot as well, but we'll see.
Have you watched? And I'm going to ask my cameraman, what's the movie again? That we love
the about
what is it?
The Alpinist.
Yeah, The Alpinist.
The Alpinist.
Oh, you got to watch it. It's a doc about how do you phrase it? Like they're a free climber.
Yeah.
This guy.
No, you're talking free solo, eh? The guy he climbs up El Cap.
Well, it's alpine climbing, but
this is alpine climbing. There's free solo. This guy takes it to a whole other.
Wow. Okay, I'll check it out.
There's no ropes, nothing.
Yeah.
And he's doing these cliffs and these ice, like glacial. It's, you have to check it out.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? And these, and, you know, at the time, you know, George and George Mallory as well, and George Finch, they went up, you know, it was, you know, the 1920s.
Yeah.
And they had nothing. You know, they literally were going into the unknown. And, you know, at first, their first few attempts were without oxygen. And actually, George Finch was the one that, you know, helped develop that system. He also created the down jacket that we all now wear.
Really?
Before, they were going up in tweed coats and things.
Right.
And he was like, no, this is right. And actually, the Geographical Society, you know, everyone, they all laughed at him. They thought he was insane.
Hmm. So let's go back again to you're starting off in the business. You're trying to be Superman. You're playing Batman.
Right.
Touring as Batman. And now when you look online, there's so much calls for you to be the next James Bond.
Oh.
What does that feel like?
I mean, you know, it's, I think every British actor that's alive right now has been thrown into a pot. I mean, look, it's an icon. It's one of the hugest franchises there are. And I love the last one that they did. Super great journey for Daniel Craig to go on, but I don't know. We'll see. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Who knows who they're looking at? But I did audition for Bond years ago.
Bond and Superman.
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah, you could amalgamate the two and have like
Bond with a cape. Bond with a cape.
With a kilt and a cape.
Oh, kilt. And what's the other thing? The sporran.
And a sporran. Yeah. Yeah.
Bond super sporran.
He could keep his Walter PPK in there, couldn't he?
Or a martini shaker.
I don't know, martini shaker. Yeah.
Now some fun questions.
What okay.
Movie poster did you have on your wall when you were a kid?
Oh. I think it's probably Indiana Jones. Yeah.
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 Why?
Why not? I mean, I grew up, it always seemed to be on at Christmas, the Indiana Jones movies on television, and I love them. They're brilliant. You know, he's such a great character. They were fun. And The Last Crusade is just brilliant. I mean, you've got Sean Connery. You've got...
speaking of kilts.
Yeah, speaking of Scotsman and kilts. It's such a great, great movie.
Tell me about the worst audition you ever went on.
Oh, so many. So many. Oh, my God. I have so many memories when I come around Los Angeles. And like, I think the worst, just embarrassing. I was auditioning for Jumanji. Mm-hmm. And I just landed in Los Angeles. I think I was early 20s and really jet lagged. And they wanted me to audition for this astronaut in American accent. And I just didn't know where I was and what I was doing. And I was just, it was just, you know, when you just want the floor to swallow you up.
How do you audition to be an do they put you in an astronaut suit?
I don't know.
Suit,
how do you like play an astronaut? You know, you're supposed to
in
like
an audition.
Yeah, but I also because I at the time I thought, you know, they want an American actor for this. I started creating this story about how I was part Canadian, so that's where my accent comes from. And oh, I got myself in so much trouble because they started asking me, "Oh, really? Where from? Where in Canada are you from?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's a little Scottish place."
favorite food on the crafts table?
Favorite food on the crafts table. I mean, the Outlander craft has been a process, and we finally got there.
What do you mean by a process?
Well, when we first started, there wasn't a craft. It was basically a sort of grocery bag of you know, moist biscuits that sort of that someone just carried around, and there you go. But we've now actually do have, you know, like a great craft service now, and they're very creative. It's so hard. You're in the Highlands of Scotland, and it's snowing or rain, and you know, in the mud, and yet we do still manage to get, you know, strong coffee and I don't know, a protein bar.
Well, Mr. Sam, this was great. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you so much.
We finally got to. I was trying to recall. I think we chatted once on a red carpet.
Possibly.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
I want to say it was a BAFTA pre-Globes
Probably.
Event,
Probably.
Maybe.
Right.
But I'm glad we got to really, really chat.
So nice. Thanks
and I can't wait
me.
To hear your singing with Celine Dion.
Oh, God, yeah. It's going to be a great movie.
I'm excited.
Thank you,
sir.
Thanks so much.
That was Sam Heughan. Outlander is available on Starz. Thanks for listening to Just for Variety. I'll see you next time. But for now, don't forget to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Mark Malkin. And for all your breaking Hollywood news, go to Variety.com. See you next time. And don't forget to check out this week's Variety with everything and anything you want to know about the 2022 Oscars.